This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Discovery Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Tommy, I know I was up at the press conference yesterday at Bud Walton Arena in Fayetteville. I know you got to watch the full press conference and the full video on hitthatline.com, which we have both with Eric Musselman and Hunter Yurecek up there if you want to check out it in its entirety. And to tell you the truth, Tommy, when I was there and it just kind of going off of my raw reaction to him and to Eric Musselman and just his opening statement and the things that he had to say and the style that he went about it, the really impressed me was, of course, a few things that's we're going to discuss, but it really impressed me just how he came in and just talked basketball. It didn't seem like there was just this, okay, you got to do some funny pizzazz, popping hashtags and stuff like that to really get the crowd into, to get the people to buy in. It was just, this is my style of play. This is what I expect out of my players. It was basketball, and that's all it was. And honestly, I think that's a breath of fresh air for a lot of Razorback fans to hear.
And I'm just going to, because it's familiar to our audience, I'm going to use Chad Morris as an example.
Right.
There wasn't a left lane hammer down, hashtag rah-rah type moment or two or three in the introductory press conference to win the fan base over, to, you know, There wasn't, though. It was just like you said, it was basketball. And what, I don't say won me over, but what impressed me was just some of the facts and some of the things he laid out that really sold me on the fact that this guy, I think, truly wanted the job. I don't have any doubt that how bad he wanted this Arkansas job from the moment, as you put the two press conferences yesterday together, one with Hunter Yurecek and one with him, from the moment those initial phone conversations began, this guy went to work watching film.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into some more of those details. It's those kind of things, and the 20 hours or so of film he was talking about watching with all the players to be prepared for the interview, that I found fascinating. From yesterday, but fans didn't leave with some new hashtag,
right,
to surround Razorback basketball with, some new identity phrase to say, all right, Arkansas basketball is now hashtag this, muscled up, you know, we're all muscled up, or you know, some phrase, you know. What I found was a guy that was very prepared for the job interview, very prepared, it appeared yesterday, for that 23 or so minutes that he met with the media, and has appeared to be prepared for every step of this process so far to get his first Power 5 job. So, you know, deductive reasoning tells me he's going to be very prepared,
mm-hmm.
To coach this basketball team. Now, does that mean he's going to, you know, win 25 or more games this first year and take the team to the tournament? No, but I do think he'll be prepared to run a successful basketball program given an appropriate amount of time.
Yeah, because that's what's going to come down to, is just making sure that he has the time to do it. And I think it really stood out to people, too, where they had this video that they put out before the press conference of Eric Musselman talking to the team at Hunter Yurecek's house, like Sunday night after he had arrived, and he was talking to the entire team. And one of the things that really stood out is he said, hey, guys, I've watched this film, like you alluded to, Tommy, how much film he watched on this team.
Right.
He says, I've watched this film, and there is more talent on this team right now than the team that I had at Nevada that went to the Sweet 16. This team can go to the Sweet 16. Now, that, of course, may have just been one of those things that it's like, hey, I'm trying to build this confidence and show these guys to believe in me, which I think it had a lot to do with it as well. But I do believe, though, that him saying that and then being followed up with the questions afterwards in the press conference by a media member saying, okay, do you really believe that? Is that an expectation that you had? And he says, Yeah, that's what I believe. That's our expectation. That's our standard. And I believe that Mike Anderson left behind a solid group of individuals that have a lot of potential to really do something this year. And I think that right there, too, is great for Razorback fans, because, you know, they had to feel like they had to wait, like with the Chad Moore situation, and wait until, okay, well, wait till he gets his players in. Wait till three or four years till it really gets going, which is nothing bad and something against them. But in basketball, you see teams that are able to turn around quickly, that it's almost a shorter leash when it comes to Eric Musselman and the success that Razorback fans expect out of him. So when they hear him say, yeah, we expect to go to the tournament this year. We have enough talent to do so. I think right there, that's people like, we love that confidence. We love that expectation he's setting for himself, because the last thing we want to do is have his coach say, hey, just wait 2 or 3 years till I get my guys in, and then we'll really get going. They want to win now.
Well, I mean, let's face it, in football, a coaching staff is going to have to recruit 50 to 75 players to really turn a bad situation around. And Chad Morris inherited a bad situation.
No doubt.
And a complete philosophy, culture change in the way you run your style of offense and everything. Everything's going to have to change. And they even changed the locker room. So, I mean, so, you know, so it's going to take 2 to 3 recruiting classes. That's 50 to 75 players. That's the difference in the sports. In basketball, we're talking 2 to 5 players can make a world of difference in the culture and the, and everything about your team. And players can more easily adapt to a style in basketball. I mean, the current players on your roster. I thought the way he answered that yesterday when pressed a little bit in the press conference on his comments, he said, listen, this, and he went through it and talking about Isaiah Joe and talking about the young players, the jump they'll make from being freshmen and young players to next year. And the individual, remember he talked about individual development plans, and he was going to get on the court with them as soon as possible, hopefully by the end of this week, and kind of run them through some drills. Those are the, you know, that's where he's expecting that jump, is young guys with experience, true playing experience, making a big leap from freshman to sophomore year. Young guys that have playing time under their belt that just need some fine tuning, and then putting an offense and running his style around them to mold and tailor their talents to that. So
yeah, and I think that's very important for a coach to have when he enters into a program for the first time.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Eric Musselman was asked about the fact when he told the players that he feels like there's enough talent to make the NCAA tournament. Here's what he had to say.
Coach Anderson's done a great job accumulating talent. So many great young pieces. And, you know, a lot of the guys just finished up their freshman year, and usually players make great leaps, you know, after their freshman year going into their sophomore season. And
so that's really the question right there, is it's going to be okay. That's, you understand, a coach trying to come in, get some confidence to the players, trying to build up that trust and all of that. But it makes you really wonder, though, because he's a basketball guy, Eric Musselman. He's watched a lot of film. He's coached a lot of players at different leagues at different times and all of that. Do you think that he is seeing something on this team after watching all the film that he has, that he's like, hey, a few adjustments here, a few adjustments here, get a couple of the players to play down low, and I can make this in a tournament team? I mean, do you think he truly believes that? Do you think that's a realistic thing, that he just a few things here and there can make this team into an NCAA tournament team this upcoming season?
And he also knows he's not going to get fired for not making the tournament. you know, whether or not he makes the tournament, I think fans want to see improvement in the program. I do believe what he said there at the end, that the players are going to make a big jump and a big leap. I'm interested in seeing players develop. And, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting deal next year. Now, he's got to find some 4s and 5s.
Yeah.
He's got to find some big guys to go along with this to make the whole thing work next year. So, is this a program that can make the tournament? Yes, because, and he talked about this yesterday, and it's something we already know, this is not a league where, like he came from in the Mountain West, where maybe 2, tops 3 programs get in the tournament. What was it, 7 that got in this year? I forgot now.
Right.
So like 7 SEC schools are going to get in. Can you be in the top half of the league? Now, I don't know that 7 are going to get in next year, but 5 or 6 is a pretty safe number. You know, this was kind of a better than usual year compared to the last 10 for the SEC when it comes to teams getting in the postseason. It's one of the better years you've had in recent times. Can that trend continue? I think the coaching's getting better. I mean, Buzz Williams added the league. I mean, the SEC's clearly made the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're talking about is you just got to be in the top half of this league in order to get in. I think this is a guy that can do that.
Yeah, and I was just, because when you made that comment, it's, of course, you got to take it for, like we said, you know, he's a coach coming in, gaining the trust, and you mentioned it, Tommy, that he's not going to get fired this year, so he has a little more leeway with what he says and, sure. and what he's dealing with. So, and that's all understood. But if you really look at it and just look at the conference in general, because like you said, he's going to have to finish in the top half, essentially, of this conference. Arkansas went 8-10 this past season with Daniel Gafford. They got to find some sort of replacement for Daniel Gafford, and that's what he's going to be tasked with right off the bat, is trying to find some guys down low. But, I mean, can he, if you just look at some of the things that are going on in the SEC, like LSU won the regular season this year. We don't know what they're going to look like next year. We don't know who the coach is going to be next year. So, I mean, they could take a major step back. Tennessee's losing a lot of players. Now, I'm not saying they'll be a bad team, but they're losing
nearly
a lot.
Nearly lost their coach.
Yeah, nearly lost their coach, which we'll get into later in the show. But, you know, they're going to be losing a lot. We know Kentucky's going to be Kentucky. And Auburn, who made it to the Final Four this year, they're losing a few key pieces. You know, Mississippi State wasn't that great of a team. Ole Miss was not that great of a team. I mean, they got to the tournament, but they weren't great teams. Same with Florida right there. I mean, it's, I don't think it's going to take a whole lot for Arkansas to finish just right at 500, maybe a little bit above 500 in SEC play, if they, as long as they get some help down low. But, you know, I think that just given how the current state of the conference, I don't know if the conference is going to be better next year than it was this past year. I could be wrong, because you mentioned some of the guys, like, you know, Buzz Williams going to A&M. What are they going to do? What about when Tom Crean gets his five-star guy in? Is that going to make a big difference for next year for Georgia? I mean, there's a few pieces here or there. But I'm just saying that I could see Arkansas, though, finishing in the top seven of the SEC. I really could. And it's not because Arkansas is going to be just that much better. I just think that the SEC, in general, is going to take a slight step back next season, is all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, is that because it's not – is that just because it was so good this year? Or because you just think some of the really great players are leaving the league and they're not being replaced with players as good?
Well, I think it's that. I think it's the latter more so than anything. And it's just because there are other situations. Like I said, the LSU situation, it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't look like they're going to be a team that's going to go back and go 16-2 in conference next year.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, because, you know, something like that. And Mississippi State.
Tennessee can't be as good next year as they were this year.
Right. And Kentucky, I mean, like I said, Kentucky's going to be Kentucky, so you don't have to worry about them. But, you know, is Ole Miss going to take that next step under the second year of Kermit Davis? Is Ben Howland at Mississippi State, are they just going to be another borderline tournament team? They made it to the tournament this year, but it was dicey. Are they going to be that team? What's Mike White, Florida, going to do? Because if they didn't beat Arkansas in the SEC tournament, they wouldn't have made the tournament. So, I mean, there's just a lot of unknowns about it, where I've leaned more towards the conference being not as good than being better next year, I guess is what I'm saying. So, not to say it'll be bad. It's just, I think this year was really the strongest it has been. And if I'm wrong next year, I'm wrong. But, you know, because who knows what South Carolina is going to do, for instance. They went 11-7 in conference this year, but 16-16 overall. So they didn't make the tournament. So
I'd say Frank Martin's going to be more focused on November and December is what I'd say.
No kidding. My goodness. That was one of the weirdest stories of the SEC slate. So, yeah, there could be a lot of pieces that are moving around in there. Let's go to the phone lines. Don is in Greenwood. What's going on, Don?
Hey, guys. I've got a simple thought here. Basketball is very athletic. I mean, don't misunderstand. I couldn't make it three times up the court. But it's also it's easier than football. I mean, there's 8 to 10 people on the field, on the court. It only takes 2 to 3 studs, and you got a team.
That's right.
He will rebound quicker. It is a great thing. I don't have an opinion on the coach or whatever. But in all honesty, it will not take as long as football. It won't. It just takes 2 to 3. Nolan proved that. Just 2 to 3. That's all it takes on basketball. So the light is very, very bright at the end of the tunnel. He's got, what, 8, 9 days to recruit? Who knows who he can replace in 8 or 9 days? Who knows?
Yeah.
You never know. It only takes 2 or 3 studs. It don't take 24. That's the moment we talked about.
Yeah. Well, appreciate the phone call, Don. I mean, no, we agree with that. I mean, it's much easier. If you want an example, I mean, I don't think this should be the expectation, but look at what Chris Beard did at Texas Tech. I mean, my goodness, he was in year 3, and he played in the national championship game last night at Texas Tech. So, I mean, went to overtime with Virginia, and actually a high-scoring game, for goodness sakes. But, I mean, he has hit the recruiting trail hard. In fact, he went ahead and offered the Kyrie Walker, a guy that we talked about yesterday, which was a 5-star player at Arizona, that had Nevada, Memphis, and Arizona in his final 3. Eric Musselman already went in and offered him a scholarship. We'll see, you know, if he gets a visit or anything like that. But, you know, if he, and I was saying this too, Tommy, and I was thinking about it when after the press conference yesterday, could you imagine if he was able to get like Moses Moody or if he was able to get some big-time five-star player in his first recruiting class, just what that would do to energize everything else even more. Because, you know, that was like the one thing against Mike Anderson is just you never felt like Mike Anderson was going to go into Arizona and get a five-star player. Like, you just, like, that was not going to happen. But if you have a coach that can come in and get a five-star player from a state across, that's all pretty much across the country over there, I mean, that's just immediately going to add some credibility as well, too. So, I mean, just things like that, the little small things like that could just really change everybody's opinion on it and really get people goaded and going and motivated and be excited about Musselman if he's able to get the recruits in immediately right off the bat, because he's going to need some help this year.
Yeah, and right now he doesn't have a staff put together.
Right.
And he's got, as Don alluded to, this signing period, this late signing period ends in, what, 8 days? And he talked about that yesterday, and maybe one of the clips we're going to get to here a little bit later on in the show. But, yeah, it's similar to what Chad Morris was coming into his first year, where he arrived in early December, and that was that first year of the early signing period where – really, it was the only signing period in reality. I know there was still February, but it was the only signing period. It's not quite the same thing he's dealing with here, but it kind of has some similarities in the fact that he's got 8 days, and you got to use some of the existing staff to sort through relationships they've been working, figure out if any of those players fit, and then, like you said, offer. There's no bad day to offer a five-star kid that might be willing to look at your program. So maybe that works out, maybe it doesn't. You don't have a thing to lose by making the kid from Arizona an offer.
No, not at all.
Not a thing to lose.
Yeah, and again, if you got one of those players in right off the bat, you know, that can really cause some momentum. Because, you know, basketball, you need about two or three players each class, roughly, wouldn't you say? Just about two or three. And depending on transfers, I mean, sometimes it'll be more so than that. I think this past year,
Arkansas had that class with six. And you know,
right?
That's what you don't want. You want it more balanced, where it's two to three.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. But the main reason they had that is because they had six seniors also leaving.
Right.
So you don't want
to be in that situation. Right. Is my point.
Right. And so if they're just able to get a couple guys, because again, you know, I will have some more clips about how he was able to determine how much talent this team had when he watched some film on. I thought it was an interesting point there that we'll play on the other side, but. You know, if he feels like there's enough talent and enough things that he can work on, I mean, he's got some, like, Isaiah Joe is a player. Like, that guy's a player. Mason Jones is a player. I mean, these are guys that have a lot of upside and a lot of potential, and they're young guys who, in their first year at Arkansas, did a lot of things really well. And you have some other guys that have some upside, like a Desi Seals. You feel like he's got some potential there. Even a guy like Jalen Harris, who you feel like, I mean, he was terrible at shooting the ball, but if you could just work with his game just so slightly, you feel like he can just take that next step. So it's just these slight adjustments, too, that somebody like Eric Musselman, who knows the game of basketball really well, and I believe he called his style pace and space yesterday. So I don't know, maybe that'll be the new hashtag. But, you know, if he just is able to instill that culture, get everybody to buy in, keep all the players in, and now I didn't even mention a guy like Reggie Chaney, who I know a lot of people are excited about. The potential there. I feel like he does truly have some pieces to work with.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Been talking a lot about Eric Musselman being officially introduced yesterday in a press conference that I know had a lot of Razorback fans excited about some of the things that he had to say. And we've discussed a few of those things. But what was also really interesting is that we had a chance in the media to catch up with Hunter Yurecek. And I don't think anybody really remembers or really cares, Tommy, but after Mike Anderson was fired, Hunter Yurecek did not have a press conference. He did not have a thing where he had to answer questions about the decision or anything like that, which was, I wouldn't say it's unusual, but it was definitely something that I know frustrated some of the media members and how they just wanted to get some answers around it, and which I can understand, because when something big like that happens, you kind of want to say, all right, so what happened here? So you didn't have a press conference like that. So this was the first time anyone in the media had actually had a chance to talk to Hunter Yurecek about the process of firing Mike Anderson and also the process of hiring Mike Anderson. And honestly, Tommy, I didn't have an issue with him not having a press conference personally.
No. In fact, Tom Murphy brought that up yesterday on the show when I asked him about how do you think Hunter Yurecek has done through the process. And that was one of the things he brought up, was not having the press conference. And Hunter addressed that yesterday. And I'm sure you're going to play that audio here as to, you know, the things he didn't think would come out of that, or the negative the negative overtones about Mike that he didn't want to come out of a press conference by having that. And there's really nothing positive going to come out of a press conference about firing a coach. It's really not.
No. And in fact, when he was talking about having to make that decision, he talked about how it was the hardest thing that he has ever had to do.
I made probably the most difficult decision I've ever made professionally in letting Mike Anderson go. Mike Anderson is a great man. And I didn't think I needed to compound or shed any negative light on Mike Anderson by having a press conference after I let him go. I didn't see the point in that. The only thing that was going to come on that was negative things towards Mike and how he ran his program. And I made a decision that was difficult. And so I hope you guys understand why I didn't have a press conference after that.
I think it's a solid explanation from, and it does make sense, because if you think about the situation that happens after, there's a lot of emotions and it's a lot of because again, you weren't just firing a coach. You were firing a coach that had been around for so long, had been a part of the program, and that was all about Arkansas. So it was not just your run-of-the-mill firing of a coach. And the fact that he handled it that way, Tommy, and talked about how he felt like it would shed negative light, I agree with him. I feel like if he would have done a press conference after that, the entire press conference would just have been like, all right, so where did Mike fail? Why did he fail? How badly did he fail? It just seemed like it would have been one of those situations, which you can like it, you can love it, you can hate it, whatever. But I think that for Hunter Yurecek, at least, that was a good move by him as athletic director.
Well, I'll tell you what else it had turned into. Who are your top three candidates? What names?
Yes,
give us
exactly.
Some names of people you want to talk to. All of those type of questions, which he couldn't answer. I mean, he's not going to give you those names, nor should he. But you have to ask him. I mean, I don't fault anybody in the media for asking that question. You must ask it. But it turns into a bunch of questions that can't be answered. And quite honestly, where do you want your AD spending his time in the immediate hours following the decision to dismiss his basketball coach? I want him on the trail finding his next coach. I want the process to begin in what he described as he identified 12 candidates, quickly narrowed it to about four, and then started calling and interviewing people.
Yeah.
And I want his hours spent doing that, not preparing for a press conference, because it's not just sitting up there taking questions. You have to prepare for that, or then you end up, if you don't, you end up looking like a fool and making a fool of yourself. And Hunter Yurecek's the kind of guy that's going to prepare. So it just eats up time. And time in that moment is very precious, because you are also sitting there knowing that there was, what, three other? You were one of, what, four SEC jobs open, and LSU was kind of out there in the open. Well, I guess maybe at that point Alabama at midfield. But, you know, the pressure was on to get something done.
Mm-hmm.
Was my point. And there's jobs opening up, jobs filling around the country. You didn't have time to waste. Having a press conference to me would seem like wasted time with not a lot of good information revealed at that point.
And Tom Murphy was actually asked the question, and a very simple question, of when this process went down, why change coaches? Why change coaches now? And here's Hunter Yurecek's response.
We did not have the level of success. We had success, but we didn't have the level of success I believe we could have here at the University of Arkansas. And that was reaffirmed again. I said this earlier, when I talked to other coaches around the country, whether they had an interest in this job or not, or they were calling to talk about another candidate in the pool, it was always that this is a top-tier SEC job. This should be a top two or three, a team that's in the top two or three in the SEC year in and year out, and one that's in the top 20 year in and year out. And that we hadn't met that consistently over the past 8 years.
Hunter Yurecek just won over a lot of Razorback fans with that comment right there, where he believes that that's where the program is at. That's the expectation because of the coaches that he's talked to, because the other people just around the country and how they look at this job. It's a top-tier SEC job. It's a top 20 program, and that's what it needs to be. And that's essentially what it came down to with Mike Anderson. And I feel like now you're starting to see connections that the fans' feelings had with Hunter Yurecek, and the feelings that he had that, hey, it's not that Mike Anderson did a horrible job. It wasn't that Mike Anderson was just having this dumpster fire of a program that had all these issues. It was not to the level of success that should be had at a place like Arkansas. And that's really what it came down to. And I think that Hunter Yurecek making that comment gives Razorback fans a good feeling and a lot of hope that in Hunter Yurecek saying he knows where these programs are at and what they're capable of doing. And as long as he still keeps that mentality throughout, whether it's football or baseball or whatever it is, he's going to make sure that he gets the right guy in place that's going to be able to elevate their game and be able to have that expectation in year in and year out. So I think he won a lot of fans over Hunter Yurecek did, because a lot of fans weren't sure about him.
Well, and I think the way the contract or the offer that we've seen that's been signed by both parties is structured backs that up. I mean, just where the bonuses are at and the incentives are not – there are a few minor incentives for academic and graduation rates. And, you know, if you graduate 90%+, you get $25,000. And if it's 80 to 89, it's 12,500. All, you know, that's all crumbs. You know, Jeff Long had some bigger incentives for his coaches for APR and some of those things. And hey, that was at a time where the program really needed to focus on some APR stuff, in fairness. But the big cheese, the big cheddar at the end of the maze is for winning, for Musselman, is Sweet 16s, Final Fours, National Championships. In fact, there's only a little bit, you know, and you got to get there twice, and you can only kind of cash in once on just making it to the tournament. So making it to the tournament's not even really good enough in Hunter Yurecek's eyes. Get there, you know, we're going to give you a reward for getting there in your second time. But really what we want to do is get you to the national championship. $500,000 if you can win the national championship. So even the way he structured this arrangement speaks that winning is the most important thing, and we're going to reward you for doing so.
Yep. And again, that's just, it's like a breath of fresh air almost to a lot of Razorback fans, because for a long time they didn't feel like that was the case. They didn't feel like winning was the ultimate priority. And now that you have not only an athletic, because athletic directors say that all across the country. I don't think any athletic director's coming out and literally saying, well, winning's really our third priority. We want to make sure that the grades are good. Like, nobody's saying that. But it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to back it up when you, like you mentioned with the contract, I think is a great point. Because, you know, it was the same contract, the thing that people sign on the dotted line, that's what speaks the volumes. You know, even if you think back to when Bobby Petrino signed that big old contract, that huge buyout, like, it's one thing for a coach to say, you know what, I'm not looking to go anywhere. This is where I'm at. But when you sign that contract and you see that it's backed up, then that gives the ultimate confirmation that you are saying what you're really meaning. You are a man of your word. And it's the same thing here. When you sign on the dotted line and you have it set up in a certain occasion where you do get benefits and you do get some increases in your pay when you actually have the high level of success, that's showing that, hey, we want it, we believe it, and if you back it up, you're going to get it. And so that's, to me, also another big factor in it. Because maybe I'm just thinking of it. Maybe I'm getting caught up in the moment, Tommy. But just the whole process of this and the hiring of it all, I just feel like this, the more and more you research and you hear about it and you hear about the process, I feel like this was just a big win for Arkansas in general about it. Again, well, I don't know what the high-level success will be, but it just feels like it was a big win for him.
I think it's a big win for Hunter Yurecek.
That,
I
mean, too, more so.
I think Hunter Yurecek, while Eric Musselman got a great job and a big elevation in pay and a big step up from the Mountain West to the SEC, and him and his family are great winners in this, and the Arkansas basketball program and the fan base is a big winner, I think Hunter Yurecek comes out a big winner in all of this, because let's be honest, we were all a little uncertain about who is this Hunter Yurecek guy? How do you spell that name? What's he all about? What are his priorities?
Is he from
Russia?
Does
he really want to win? Yeah. Who is he? You know, all of these questions about Hunter Yurecek. And I think he quietened a lot of, not critics. I don't think anyone, you know, was critical. We were just a lot of uncertainty about him. And I think he's come out looking pretty good in all of this.
Yep.
And I think he did his job. He did it well. And he talked about, you know, we'll get more into some of the sound from him yesterday about why the process took as long as it did and how he wanted to go through it with integrity and some of those things and who was involved and how close-knit the circle was, why he didn't use a search firm, why it's his job to find the coach, all of these things. But I think the fan base now has more confidence in their AD this morning than they did a week ago yesterday or a month ago.
Without a question. I mean, he really won over a lot of Razorback fans.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.